The Old Testament is full of memorials, and they cause us to remember important events of really where there was judgment pronounced and destruction, and then also the opportunity for deliverance. And in many of our memorials of the Old Testament, there was deliverance available for those that would choose to take advantage of that deliverance. You know, if you remember, after the flood, Noah and his family were saved, but God had placed that rainbow in the sky as a memorial of that he would never do that again, that the promise that he would never flood the earth again that way. But it was a judgment that took place on the earth when he flooded the earth. Then there's the Passover feast, which was really a memorial to remind the children of Israel that God had delivered them out of bondage to Egypt. And out of that bondage to Egypt, he took them onto a journey towards the promised land. There's also another memorial, I guess you could say, of stones when the children of Israel were crossing the River Jordan. And God said, pull these 12 stones. And they set them up as a memorial of God delivering them from disaster. See, God instituted these memorials so that people would return to them and keep his teaching about his spiritual and historical deliverance, and also that very fact that he does keep his word and he does judge. There's memorials that remind us that God delivers. See, these events all have to do with us being saved from danger. And with us coming into a new relationship with God, or the Father, which he's seeking after in the first place. In fact, in every case, these memorials came about because God was calling men and women back from a dangerous lifestyle. A lifestyle that was pulling them down and tearing up their life. And in every case, God was pulling and drawing men and women toward a relationship that would bring quality back to life and guide them into an abundant life. In this world, dangerous lifestyles seem to happen. And I don't mean that to be trivial. It's just that we sometimes get involved by just having fun in a dangerous lifestyle. We chase desires and just for the feel-good moment, and the next thing you know, we're caught up in a trap in a dangerous lifestyle. And then we want to follow the crowd and fit in. How many of us ever just wanted to be normal? I don't know if there is a such thing as normal. If I were to ask you, do you feel normal today? Well, normal is not feeling normal, apparently, for most of us. But when we start seeking to feel normal, it seems like we find out that normal's not good, and it's seldom holy, and it's seldom righteous. Think about that for a moment. See, there's desires and temptations that are almost innocent in our life. Is there such thing as almost innocent? You know, almost innocent can put you into a dangerous, destructive lifestyle, a dangerous and destructive situation. See, in the Bible, I've not found a dangerous, destructive lifestyle that God has not already warned people about in one way or another. And I have not found where God did not offer deliverance prior to his judgment and on that destructive lifestyle, and he is always giving warnings to people, warnings of destruction. Join me in Mark 13, 1-2. As he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all of these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Now, obviously, the disciples were impressed. It was a beautiful, magnificent building with these great big stone structures that took years to build. Now, I don't know if you remember, but a few weeks back, we talked about Jesus coming in on that triumphal entry and talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Point number one, every prophecy in the Bible can validate or invalidate the whole book. Every prophecy in the Bible can validate or invalidate the whole book. Now, why do I say that? Well, even if just one does not turn out the way God said it would be, I would have to then, and you would have to then, pick and choose. If you have to pick and choose in the Bible, if you can't believe that this part of the Bible, that part of the Bible becomes worthless to you. It's going to be what you want to then believe from it. It's what you absorb from it, but not what God has said. See, we've previously seen in that triumphant entry where Jesus warned the Pharisees in Luke's account of a day coming where Jerusalem will be surrounded by enemies. And not only surrounded by enemies, he says that they will not leave one stone on another. And Luke, he gave the reason. He said, it is because they did not recognize the God's coming. They did not recognize Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. Jesus had said, no stone would be left unturned. No stone left unturned. And then 40 years later, it was filled exactly as described, history tells us. See, the thing to remember about a prophet is if even one thing that that prophet says does not happen as they say it, then they are a false prophet. They are a false prophet. Remember that when you're evaluating what's going on in the world. See, there's a website, it's called AccordingToTheScriptures.org, that identifies, I think, 353 accurately fulfilled prophecies just in the life of Jesus Christ. Accurately fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. Our Bible, in our Bible, prophecies have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled. Now, when Jesus walked on the earth, he predicted that the destruction of the temple. And he included in that prediction that every stone would be overturned. History tells us in 70 AD that the Roman general Titus surrounded Jerusalem and took the city. They prevented food from entering into the city. They really locked the Jews within that area, and they couldn't escape. And eventually they were taken into captivity and slavery and back into bondage. And after a long battle, the Roman army actually attacked the city, and the temple was destroyed at that point. There was a great fire, and that great fire, there's this gold plaques that melted, and they ran down through the crevices between these great, huge, massive stones. So the Roman army had to go in. They wanted that gold and turn every stone apart, take them apart, turn them over to get the gold out. Just as Jesus said, no stone left unturned. And it's an interesting side note that Herod's temple was destroyed on the ninth day of the Jewish month of AV. 600 years earlier, Solomon's temple was destroyed on the same day of the month. The Jews consider that a tragic day in Jewish history. I've read that they memorialize it with a 25-hour fast. I haven't studied as heavily as some of you, but I see that there's something going on here. See, Jesus said the temple was going to be destroyed because God was not recognized. Because God was not recognized. And many today still do not recognize God. See, God in the person of Jesus Christ, who just came to Jerusalem, and in their stubborn and hard-heartedness, Their refusal to see things as God has said it, they hung on to their own desires, they missed him. They did not acknowledge him. They were spiritually blinded by their own desires, which shaped their opinions about God. See, our desires, if we want to do something, and we want to do it bad enough, we have to change God a little bit so that we can do it, or we're really fighting God. And that's what they were doing. They were fighting God. They changed their image of God and of his laws, and they had to fight God. They didn't even recognize Jesus had come to this world to give them peace. He came to take away the current battle that they were having with the law, trying to keep the law. And he came to stop the war that was going on with inside of them, but they didn't recognize that. Jesus came to give them an inner peace. He came to put it into the destructive lifestyle of choices that they had been making. You know, this takes us to really our ultimate point that's found in the Bible. Honestly, everything points to it, and that's point number two. Everyone faces a battle of only two choices. Only two choices. You know, to accept or reject Jesus Christ. You know, you can narrow it down to just those two things. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are the choices that you've given? We've been given free choice. It's a spiritual battle where the winners receive insight into the things of God. The winner receives peace. It's a spiritual battle where the winners receive eternal life. The winners receive the benefits of accepting Jesus Christ personally into their life. And they receive freedom from a destructive lifestyle. And we gain a new type of love. And it's a committed type of love. It came from God, and it raises the quality of life back up to where it should be. And it is a life that God has designed each and every one of us to live. We get off course. And I tell you what, the title of this message is I Want to Live Like That. I want to live that life. Out in the world today, I see people, I meet people regularly. They want to hide from the knowledge of and the warnings of God. They don't want to hear the warnings of the Bible. They don't want that. I meet people that don't want anything to do with God and His Word. In fact, I meet people who cringe sometimes when they see me now. I meet people who would rather not hear anything from the Bible, and they don't want to hear about the Word, and they don't want to be around a person of faith. Think about the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the leaders, the religious leaders of the Bible, they could not let go of their own predetermined desires and their own predetermined thoughts of how things should be and their own prejudices and their own selfishness enough to recognize that Jesus Christ was in the flesh standing right in front of them. And they had every opportunity to do it. Still today, the application is still here, and this message still applies today. There's a biblical prediction of destruction for all non-believers. Who wants to hear that, and who wants to say that, really? But it's there. It's a loving plea, though, to wake up, and if a person does not, there will be consequences. Within the Sermon on the Mount, we find that deliverance is available to all. To all. But Jesus says, you must ask, and it will be given to you. You must seek, and it will be found. You'll find it. You must knock, and the door will be opened for you. And it is a message that's the same today, and it runs today, that if you seek God, you will find God. He continues speaking about God only giving good gifts in that same message. And as he moves on, he says that he advises that we're to do unto others as we'd have them do to us. We talk about raising the life. We've talked about this before. Love takes us to a point of valuing all life. True love from God raises the bar on what love really is and what life is. And as you continue in that message in Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning in the 13th verse, it says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. When we think about how short this life is, and for some reason, the older I get, the shorter life seems to be, and maybe that's what everybody would have told me when I was a kid about the size of the one we just baptized. Life is very short. When you think about it, it only makes sense that we have an exit plan. One that will lead to eternal life, one that will be at peace with God, one that we can depend upon, one that we can rely upon, one that has been planned since the foundations of the earth, one that is consistent with all that God has ever said, one that is fulfilled and speaks of in every prophecy that he takes us through, that he values life, wants a relationship with us, and wants us to have life eternal. Point number three, everyone needs to make an exit plan. Everyone needs to make an exit plan, and it needs to be done today if you don't have one. There may not be enough time to wait for it. There's a story of a man named Tyler who was known for procrastinating. Well, he was going through his dresser one day and he found a plane ticket to a local shoe repair shop. Well, the ticket was over 11 months old. And so he did what all men do. He looked at his wife and he says, do you think these shoes will still be at the shop? Because we can't make that decision ourselves. We have to ask our wives. I don't know why. You think? And she says, well, so not likely, probably, but it's worth trying. So he takes her advice. And he drives down to the shoe repair shop, and he goes in and kind of just wants to not bring up the 11-month thing. Yeah. He just hands the claim ticket over to the shoe repair guy. And the clerk looks at it, and he takes the ticket, and he says, just a minute. And he goes back into his back room, and he looks around. And a little bit later, he yells out to him, here they are. And the guy says, hey, that's great. That's terrific. The man came back to the counter without the shoes. And he said, they'll be ready next Thursday. Procrastination doesn't help us in anything. You know, in business, we procrastinate things. And so government passes laws. Did you know that every business has, it's mandatory that they have some sort of an exit plan out of the building in case of a hazard or disaster, fire, whatever. It's a mandatory thing that we have an exit plan. You know, people that go into business, as a matter of fact, they're usually advised by business advisors to have an exit plan on how to sell their business or leave their business or close their business at the end of business time. When we drive on a freeway at high speeds, we really have usually an exit plan somewhere on that freeway, a ramp that was specially designed to get off that freeway. But it doesn't always happen that way, does it? People exit the freeway all over the place, and it's disastrous. Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. You say, I don't know about you or anyone else, but I know this. I want to live life in such a way that I have an exit plan. I want to live it in such a way that it includes eternal life, and it is through that narrow gate, that narrow way that Jesus Christ has spoken about because his prophecies come true. Jesus is my exit plan. You know, we can stay on the broad road of destruction and accept, or we can accept Jesus and go through that narrow gate. When I think of Memorial Day, I think about things that were worth fighting for, dying for. We think about the sacrifices that was made on behalf of us and the generations to come in many cases. And we should forever be appreciative of that, of those who fought for our freedom. And with freedom, you know what freedom gives us? It allows us to make free choices. Free. We freely get to choose things. When Jesus took the punishment for our sin on the cross, he overcame death. He gave us the ability to make a free choice. A free choice. This is a choice of acceptance or rejection. You can choose to reject Jesus and stay on that broad road to destruction, which we've been warned about. Or you can accept Jesus as your Savior and the only narrow way into heaven. There's no other way. People that reject Jesus, after learning and hearing about Jesus, they have to choose to discredit him. They have to choose to lay aside his teachings. They have to fail to acknowledge that his prophecies came true exactly as they said they would and that he fulfilled those 300 and something prophecies. They have to choose to discredit every word of the Bible in order to reject the Jesus Christ of the Bible and the Jesus Christ that was here since the foundations of the world, the Jesus Christ that loved us enough to die on the cross for us. Later we're going to study in Mark 13th chapter that Jesus is going to continue with a very lengthy message regarding the end times. He'll give signs. He warns people. He warns us that the end is near. And he will make it clear that the gospel message will go out to all nations within there. It says that. See, God again is warning us of destruction. And he still has a plan for deliverance. Always when there's this warning, there is a plan for deliverance. People all over the world are given free choice to either reject or accept this deliverance. It's interesting that the only two directives, really, or direct ordinances of the church in the New Testament really come down to the Lord's Supper and baptism. The Lord's Supper, in which we remember and memorialize, if you would, we do in remembrance of the life that Jesus gave his body, his blood on a cross for our sins to deliver us from destruction. And baptism, a memorial. A demonstration of the old life passing away and coming up a new life out of the water. A memorial to the death of Jesus Christ, that what he had done for us, it's a changed life. We come up a new life. Not because of the water, but because of what Jesus Christ did. And the water illustrates that changed life. And it says, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And it tells other believers, I'm identifying with you. We witnessed that testimony this morning. Now, you probably know that I like the song Live Like That. You're going to hear it once in a while here, hopefully, like you did today. That song has a powerful message within it. Live like what? Live like what? Maybe that's what you're saying. Live a life focused on Christ as my Savior, on one that is following after Him with such a passion that nothing will draw my attention away from Jesus Christ and the life that God wants me to go towards. Nothing. I don't want to go back to a selfish life without love. I don't want to miss out on the opportunities that God has for me. I don't want another person to see my life and not see Christ in me. I don't want anyone to walk the broad road to destruction because they didn't see the love of Christ in me. See, my heart's prayer is, Lord, let my life point others to Christ. Let my whole life and being point others to Christ. And everything I say and do, let me live like that. That's why that song touches me. Lord, let me die to self. Let me become a living memorial to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to live like that. See, today, if you've not responded to the warnings, then it's a great time to accept His deliverance. Today, if for some reason you have somehow pulled back from God and you need to make a decision of some sort in your life to rededicate your life, to be on fire for God and to live like a person that you are, that the creation that God has raised you up into in this new life, if you haven't been living that way, today's a good day to rededicate your life to it. You know, we serve an awesome God, a God that loves. He warns prior to destruction. He gives opportunity after opportunity. And He's given us that again today. And maybe you know someone here or someone outside of this church building that needs to hear this truth. I pray and I hope you pray that we can get the truth to them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father God, as we looked over these scriptures and as we think about what You've done through the ages to bring us to this point, I pray, God, that You help us be effective. I pray, God, that this morning every person here is more effective as a result of what they know of You than they were before. I pray, God, that everyone here shines with love and touches other people. I pray, God, if there's someone here that needs to make a decision today or if they're suffering in any way, God, that You would bring them and we will pray with them. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.